I believe that one thing that's held this church together over the years, now that doesn't mean to say we've never been offended, but the teaching that's gone into this church is actually giving up the right to be offended. We've actually left that right behind. Giving up the right as a Christian. And I haven't time to go into the teaching of it, but look it up sometime and ask God to show you that we as Christians should have actually settled that issue inside us, that we've given up that right to be offended. How could Jesus be nailed to a cross with those nails driven into him and the flesh ripped off his back? If he was carrying offence, he'd given up the right to be offended. He had to do to be able to go through that. We've settled that issue that we will not be offended. And these subjects that we are covering over this 3 months, particularly the first two, healing last month, throughout the body of Christ, there's a lot of different thinkings as regards healing. And so we have to settle the issue that we want healing and we want to see more healings. We want to see more people. I mean, with stories at the front, now no cancer in their body, no sickness. And we are grateful, I mean, as regards, I mean, the development of in the medical field. You know, if only we could get freed up as a country financially, I believe that there's more developments to be had in that area. But it seems that the NHS quite often, not always, but quite often, we hear about them being strapped for cash. And you know, they can't, you know, some people who can't have tablets for medication for this, that, and the other. Wouldn't it be great if we as a country could get free of that to be able to let people have and benefit from the new skills and new developments in the NHS? And then, of course, giving up, not being offended as we actually move into trying to see what God wants us to see in the area of finances. Because there's no question that God wants us to adopt a different thinking as regards finances. No question of it. You know, we said last week there's 400 words in the Bible about faith, is it? And 600 words, roughly, I mean, as regards faith. And we don't question, it might be the other way around, but we don't question as regards God wants to speak to us about prayer. But when there's over 2,000 words about financial stewardship and about how we view money, the church never speaks about it. I said way back in the early 90s, I said, you know, one thing that's ripping our society apart, I mean, is the issues of sex and money. And when I worked for the church in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000, when I worked for the church then, quite often, the counseling issues that came, they were around those two subjects. And so does God want them to go on with those struggles? No, he doesn't. In fact, since then, the situation has got worse as regards our understanding, as regards finances and sexual issues. It's got worse rather than better. And so at some time or other, we as a church never hardly done it over the years, but we need to look at the subject of what God says as regards money. Now, people expected me to actually stand up here and talk about maybe tithing and giving. And that's probably the way in which he'll go. Or he might go down the road of just simply generous giving, New Testament giving, and what have you. And I've decided, actually, yes, we do want to see God, you know, see God's understanding of us being a generous people in our giving. But what I've looked at last week is just simply some of the issues that we see within Scripture and what God wants to say to us nowadays. So, firstly, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, it says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." Quite often people actually take that scripture and they say, money is the root of all evil, and they twist it. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's if we make money our God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, I'll keep it short this morning. You might be pleased to know. Some may not. Some might not. Some might like the talks I bring. Amen? Okay. In verse 24 of chapter 6 in Matthew, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You can't. Did I tell the story last week? I can't remember, of the man in America in the 80s that we used to talk about, who had got promoted. He got promoted in his company, but he had to move across the country. And he was going to be given a huge increase in money. And he said to the company, after he prayed about it, he says, "No, I'm not going to take the promotion. I'm not going to move across the country because the church have asked me to be a home group leader and I'm going to stay here." You know why? Because God came before the money. I remember one preacher saying, "I'd love to have been a fly on the wall, you know, when the directors actually found that out of this large company, that it turned out this massive increase in money to just stay there in his church and serve it." Many years ago, well, I just referred to it, when I worked for the church before, there was a cutback in finances and I went back to secular work. And I believe that I shouldn't have run away from it at the time and should have just accepted it, because of the fact that I'm running for the sake of money. And if God had called me to that position, it's not about the salary. It's not about what I'm paid. It's about the calling. And I want to ask the church to forgive me for actually doing that. We might have been in a different place afterwards. It's not about money. When I work for the church now, I believe I receive that money from the church now that they pay me to honor what I do. And I don't think about the time. I think about the shepherds on Exmoor that I used to call on, and I used to sell fertilizer and seed and things like that and lime to them in the early 80s. And during lambing time, they actually would stay up all night going out and checking the sheep, seeing if another lamb was coming. They'd actually go out, you know, on a night time before they went to bed. If a sheep went in the ditch, you know, probably have died by morning, especially if it got on its back. Couldn't get back off its back. And it's something that you carry as a sense of responsibility, not keeping a check of the hours. Because it's very different to doing secular work. And sometimes you have to settle that issue before you can actually really get the best out of the role and really feel satisfied about your role. It's different to working, you know, for a secular company. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. I'm just going to lay out this morning from this scripture as regards where Karen and I are. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. If you have sown, I'm going to read quite a bit here. If you have sown spiritually, spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have the right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we do not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? Yeah. Okay. Basically, what Paul's talking about here, you probably got the gist of. What we want, we're actually going down the road. Let me just back up a little minute. Something we haven't told you as a church, I don't think, that Partners in Harvest and Catch the Fire, John Arnott's trying to merge the two together. Now, the new setup is you jump from 2.5% giving to 10% giving out of your church income. Okay? Now, I could go into further detail as regards that, but my view is this, that we already give 15% away as a church. And for us to make adjustments to go to that would take quite a long period of time, because a large part of that 15% goes to Zambia for wages and things like that. So you just couldn't do it overnight. You couldn't stop it. And nowadays, a lot of the speakers around the world now are actually charging a lot of money to come and speak. One speaker that I know some friends of ours had looked at, they said $10,000 minimum for him to come and speak. Now, that would mean that we'd have to, he's a name that would attract a lot of people, and you would probably fill this room, and you probably could charge £50 a head maybe for the weekend. But Karen and I have chosen a route of these speakers that we have in. We're going to believe God that we as a church will actually have provide enough within the offering. So then it's free will. So that the widow with the two mites can always come to our conferences. That's where we want to go. But a lot of places now are starting to charge for conferences. We wanted to go to a conference last summer. And for Karen and I, it was about £450. For Tuesday evening, I think it was, Wednesday during the day and Thursday during the day. It's about £450 for two of us. And it might be in the future that we consider some of these people as regards coming here, but it'd have to be that we believe that we can believe God that he's going to provide. And so it's important that we understand the heart of God as regards how we finance his work. It's not that we want to miss out on you actually getting the teaching that is relevant and what have you, but we want to go down the road of, and that's what we've done with the Southwest leaders. We've even put food on for them. We've given them in the last 2 years breakfast and lunch, and we trust in God that in that box upstairs, voluntarily paying for breakfast, that there'll be enough money in to cover it. And you know, more or less, it doesn't matter if there's £10 out here or there's £20 out or there's £10 over the month after or whatever, but in general, that's what Karen and I are trying to do. And that's the direction in which we want to go. We don't want to restrict anybody being able to come to what we're going to put on here, through cost particularly. And so, but it also says in what Karen's read, was it me or her, which bit did she read? But as regards the fact that, you know, a person laboring in the gospel should live from the gospel. We should pay a person worthy of their hire. And so therefore, I don't want to be at the same time a person who says, right, you can, you know, have a stingy little amount or whatever. So therefore, we've got to have some faith. We've got to have some confidence in God. People have got to believe in what the road in which we want to go. And it's the same with any churches that we get involved in. If Zach Gariba's word is correct for Karen and I, that we would finish up with the oversight of 12 churches. Now, if that's correct, we want, if they're going to support our ministry or support this church or whatever, there's never going to be any pressure from us. It's going to actually be whereby it comes out of the caring, loving relationship, two ways. I believe that that's the only way in which God wants us to go. Amen? You know, the widow, and we haven't got time now to go to it, but there are two incidents with Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elijah, he went to this place and he said to this lady, give me something to eat and something to drink. She says, well, my last little bit that I've got, okay, you know, myself and my son, we're going to eat it and then die because we've nothing else. That's it. And he says, give me some. Now, if you preach out of that, and I've heard people preach from it before, people say, money people. Only the preacher wants some money. But I believe that there is something in there as regards honouring the channel of God. It's honouring where, or the messenger, if you like, that God sent. You know, that costs that lady more than 10%. Her heart was, yes, I will do it, regardless of what's left. And with Elisha that followed on from him, there's another example where this lady perceived that he was a man of God. Oh, let's build a room, said to her husband on the side. When she built that room for him, that opened the door if you like, for her future. It opened the door, first of all, for her being barren to finish up with a child. Number two, when the child was ill and finally died, she saw his healing. And the third thing was when famine struck that land, Elisha came and warned her that famine was coming, spend some time with friends or family somewhere else because there's going to be famine here. And she came back when the famine was over, and not only that, God restored all that she'd left behind. Her house had been taken over, her land, but the king restored it to her, the house, the land, and the king even said, and give her back what profits were made from that land while she was gone. Any income that came from that land producing something, she had to be given it. And it started off by her recognizing the man of God and wanting to bless him. And it opened up the door for her future and her blessing. Now, what I'm trying to say is, for us to go down that road and actually stick with the fact that we're going to believe God to provide for what we need for the future, for conferences, for anything else, it has to be a shift in our hearts and an understanding, particularly, you know, wanting to bless people, just having that heart that wants to bless. And many of us in this church have had. So don't think that I'm saying to you that, you know, we haven't done it in the past. We have. I wanted to give Zach Gariba a good gift when he came because he got flights. He was probably covering the cost of the other two. But he was going to three places over a couple of weeks. And somebody said to me, how much do you want to give him? I said, well, I want to give him £1,600. This was before he got here. We had £1,599 in the offerings. And so this is what I'm wanting to do. This is the direction in which I want to go. And that we are a people that are generous and we want to bless people and what have you and honor them for what they bring. But at the same time, it's free will. And as I said last week, don't put anything in any of these offerings that you don't really want to put in. Because I gave the example, didn't I, that if you put the money in the offering, it's like giving somebody a birthday present, say, 50 quid, and by the time they get to the door, you're regretting it. God knows your mind. God knows you're regretting it. And he's saying, I don't want you to give that if you don't really want to give it. Keep it. Keep it for yourself. Enjoy yourself. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You see, one of the problems is, and I'm gonna try and finish this and wrap it up in a couple of minutes, okay? The problem is that I've read a little bit of a book by Chris Vallotton, and he says that mankind has a natural drawing, if you like, to poverty. To a poverty mentality that then creates a striving mentality to provide for ourselves. We have a natural drawing. And so therefore, when we get money, we feel so insecure that we need to build something around us to create some security. And it comes out of a poverty mindset that we'll never have any more. You know, that'll be it. And that's how it's been. But I personally think that it actually comes out from an orphan spirit. An orphan believes that nobody loves them. Nobody really cares for them. They haven't got a mom and dad to look after them. And you grow up with that orphan spirit, you'll actually want to protect yourself with anything you can. Because you think that you're on your own in this world and you've got to look after yourself. And so we tend to sort of lean towards, in general, I agree with him on that, that you will lean towards protecting ourselves with money instead of really trusting God and believing him. And particularly for some people who've had really difficult times, you know, you get to a certain age, work hasn't worked out for you, you know, you haven't got the promotion you wanted, you know, and of course it compounds those feelings and actually makes it worse and makes us more protective with any resources we do get. But God wants us to know him as Father. He wants us to know us as his daddy. And I used to, you've all heard me say this, when I've actually given the example of the two teenage girls that decide they want to go to London. And they decide, yeah, how much is it going to cost? Oh, £50. You go ask your dad and I'll go ask my dad for the £50. Now, one girl, she's been abused by her dad, and he's always beating her. And the other girl, dad's always lavishing on her, cuddling her, loving on her, thinks she's wonderful. Which one's going to have most confidence when they come to their father as regards whether they're going to get the £50? And it's the same with us. If we're coming with that orphan spirit, that orphan heart, we ain't got a lot of confidence that God wants to bless us in the area of finances or bless us in any area. It trips us up when we actually go to him as regards asking him for healing. It'll trip us up in every area with an orphan heart. But the good news is he wants to set you free. He wants you free. He wants you free to know him as that loving daddy where you feel confident when you come before him. And you feel confident when you put in the offering that, hey, he's still going to take care of me. Is that right? One other thing that Chris Vallotton said in his book, he said that you can put Jesus in a manger, but you could never put the manger in Jesus. Do you know, Jesus came from a place of lavish luxury, more than this world will ever see, more than this world, well, certainly has ever known. I changed my words then because of the fact that it says in the Lord's Prayer, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you read about heaven, if you study the subject of heaven, this is a pigsty, this earth, compared with heaven. And I think this earth is beautiful. I think, you know, I'm well traveled. And I've seen some beautiful places. But, you know, it's a pigsty compared with heaven, where the streets are made of gold. You know, if a human being actually built his own little town and village or her and paved the streets with gold, they'd say, look at that. I hope he's not a preacher. Wouldn't we? And yet if God wants to bless somebody like that, I'd rather them have it than the drug dealers. Amen? I'd rather it be put for kingdom business. So, God's changing our thinking. You know, Christians have often thought of wealth and riches that are inherently evil. But why then is it that God describes heaven as lavish and full of riches and then says, pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I'll give you something to think about this over the next few hours today, won't it? And maybe even tomorrow and the day after. That God actually really does want to bless us. Because he loves us. And I used to say, people who disagreed with that years ago, I used to say, now if you disagree with that, we're going to have a time at the end where if you've tried to help your own children prosper and your own children get on in life, in any way whatsoever, we're going to take a moment where you can come out the front and you can repent. Because you must be trying to get them out of God's will. Is that right? The idea behind this morning is to try and give us a little bit of a shift of thinking. And that when we come to Almighty God, he's a God that loves us. He's a God that can create things. The problem is that we don't realize sometimes right down in here how loving he is and how big he is. You would not deny your children things, blessings, good things. You would not deny them it if it was within your power to give them it. What makes you think that you are more loving than God? The problem has been our past. And the problem has been what we've picked up and our experiences and our disappointments that have snowballed us in one direction. It's not just for us as individuals as well. I believe that God wants to bless this church. He's already blessed us with a great building and paid the mortgage off, and we appreciate him. But I tell you what, if God gave us thousands of pounds again tomorrow, I believe that there are some wonderful things that we could do for the kingdom to reach people. Amen. Do you know, one of those ideas is that I've had, I'll just tell you one now because I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to finish. We've been here too long now. One, do you know something? If we had the finances, we could ship people in for midweek services from the care homes. Those that are mobile, you bring them in here, you put a service on, you'll see people saved every single week. Week in, week out. I'm just telling you one. We could do it. We could do it. We've tried it here before. We did it when someone else did it. The vision was theirs and they did it and they brought them in. For the care homes, it's tick another box of provision. Let's just stand, shall we? And we'll pray and close. Father, we just thank you that you are a loving, caring, big God, and you want to come and you want to love on us, and you've got great things for us as a church and for this town. Just come, Lord. Come, come, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. This understanding is a spiritual thing, and God is speaking to some of you right now as regards this orphan spirit. You don't feel you've got a daddy to go to. You don't feel that you've got a daddy to tell when you're hurting, when you're broken, when you ain't got enough money and think that you've got to get a better job. And you've got to work some more hours. Well, I got to work another day this week. Take the extra hours. Yes. Lord, put your hand on your heart if you actually want to give him permission to actually work in your heart to change you if you feel there may be an orphan spirit. Just put your hand on your heart and that says, I give you permission, Lord, to work on my heart. If you're a bit embarrassed, a bit awkward about it, don't worry about it. You can do it when you get home. You can do it when you're in your own closet tomorrow morning. But I give you permission, Lord, to work on my heart. That I will come to you with more boldness when I come running into the throne room of heaven. Yes, come, Holy Spirit, come. More, Lord, more, more, more. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. You know, for some of you, it might be that you need to go give somebody something, whether it's a bunch of flowers, or whether it's just an unexpected gift or something you know that they like. It might be your husband, it might be your wife, it might be your friend, or you know somebody who's lacked for quite some time. I want to be a church that who is sensitive to that. And we're hearing God, not just in the areas of other things, like you've been on my heart, but we can hear him as regards when somebody's in need financially. Yes. And there are people in this room right now that are in need financially. So you could well hear God this morning speak to you. Amen. Bless you. Have a great week. I apologize for it being so long. All right. But we've had a good time, haven't we? Amen. Amen. Bless you all.